Now, in the case of Bhagavad Gita also, this concept of nirvana is to be understood in a larger context. First of all, Sri Krishna speaks of the word Brahma Nirvana. In Buddhism, there is a concept of nirvana, but it is Shunya Nirvana. It is extinction in nothingness, in the nihil, in something that is never capable of producing anything. It is a real Shunya. In the case of Sri Krishna, this is a work of Vedanta. In Vedanta, the ultimate reality is not Shunya, but the pure existence, the pure substance. So Brahma is the pure substance, which is self-existent. And it has a status in which everything can be extinguished, except itself. The Brahman is the one reality which can never be extinguished. As Sri Krishna has declared in the second chapter, Nasato vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sata. That which exists cannot become non-existent. That which is non-existent can never come into existence. So Brahman, which is the real existence, never gets extinguished. Therefore, everything else is extinguished except the Brahman. Therefore, when the word Brahma Nirvana is given here, there is a natural tendency to say that Brahma Nirvana is a state in which everything is extinguished except the Brahman. And therefore a conclusion is derived. Therefore, having reached that point, no further action is possible. Is this a real and varied interpretation? That is the question. Now, in the second verse itself, therefore, Sri Krishna dispels this question. And he says, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishaya Kshina Kalmashaha. The rishis, whose sins are all washed away, they arrive at Brahma Nirvana. Then what happens? Chinna Dvaidha. Their duality is cut. Yatatmanaha. The self is united in yoga. Sarvabhuta hite rataha. But they become completely engaged in sarvabhuta hite. They are not extinguished. All the creatures, the welfare of all the creatures becomes the great motive of action of those who attain to Brahma Nirvana. Therefore, according to Sri Krishna, there is no doubt extinction of ego, but not the extinction of the individuality, nor the extinction of action. The nirvana means extinction of the ego. Egoistic consciousness is nirvana, is extinguished. But the individuality of the bhakta, of the karma yogi, is not annulled. This is because, as we shall see later on in the seventh chapter, the individual is jiva. And jiva is described by Sri Krishna as mama eva anshaha. It is my own portion. And it is also described as para prakritir jiva bhuta. The individual is that which is produced by the para prakriti. Neither para prakriti nor the supreme is unreal, can be extinguishable. Therefore the portion of his being cannot be extinguished. Therefore, the jiva is not extinguished. Individuality is not extinguished. And it is that reality which is at once kshara and akshara. The akshara condition does not annul the aspect of kshara. Therefore, activity also is not annulled. And that is why Brahma Nirvanam means it is the condition in which you attain to the oneness with Brahman, in which egoism is extinguished, but then your individuality and your capacity to act actually becomes much more accentuated, and you become sarvabhuta hite rataha. You become engaged in the welfare of all the people. Now, just as here the emphasis is upon the knowledge of the Brahman, and yet there is no extinction of action, similarly, in chapter number 6, we have once again the emphasis on the highest knowledge that is attained. As I have told you, chapter number 5 and 6 are actually elucidation of the first four chapters. And the highest points, culminations of these four chapters are described so that you get an overview of all that is contained in the synthesis of knowledge and action. Now, chapter number 6.29, 30 and 31, also describe the condition of knowledge. Just as Brahma Nirvana is one of the states of knowledge that is attained